All right, folks. Now things are back to normal. It's Friday, which isn't normal, but it is the Ira Kaufman podcast with the man of the hour, Ira Kaufman, who's been on sabbatical, dancing in New York. He's been in Palm Springs watching tennis, but he's been abreast of everything Buccaneers, writing his columns. Some very good ones, actually, Ira. I think you got your fastball back. It's up to 95 miles an hour. It's spring training. You got your fastball back.
Like George Costanza from Seinfeld. I'm back, baby. I'm back. it was quite a trip, gentlemen. New York, where I saw Hamilton. Did not see Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand. Sorry to disappoint you, Mr. Isbitz. But I did see Hamilton from the sixth row. Quite an experience. Saw School of Rock. Bone-chilling cold in New York. I get to Palm Springs. Gentlemen, where it's supposed to be 81 and it was 95. So sitting out there watching Andy Murray practice in 95-degree heat. I can say this, Steve. A lot of Cadillacs out there. Everywhere I looked, up and down those roads. Cadillacs. More on that a little later, Steve.
Well, your podcast, we don't have to go later. I was just going to get to it anyway. Your podcast is so generously and wonderfully presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Those are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships in just 70 years of Ed Morse. Unbelievable. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You want to start your vehicle shopping search at edmorsecadillactampa.com and edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And we're going to talk a little later, Ira, about some of the incredible offers there this month in March at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. No surprise that Cadillacs adorn such a classy place as a professional tennis event. So there you go.
Tell you what, Steve, you know, looking back at maybe the first week of free agency, Lee, it's very, very tough to get Isbitz to give grudging credit, Lee. It's very difficult. But even he has to say, Kaufman, you were probably right a month ago when you said they are not going to go hog wild. They are not going to spend all kinds of money. And they're going to focus primarily on Tier 2 free agents. And Mr. Isbitz, I bounce this right over to you. We might as well start the podcast off in a proper way. That's what the Bucks did, with the exception of DeSean Jackson, who they simply had to get, Lee. Had to get him.
What was the crowd reaction, the wine and Brie crowd?
They dropped their Brie a little bit that they didn't get Calais Campbell. But in retrospect, guys, Campbell got crazy money. When a guy gets crazy money, Lee, and it only takes one team in free agency to go wild, and this year it was the Jaguars. They didn't learn the lessons of the Washington Redskins. Where is my credit?
I think you just drowned yourself when you put your head in the toilet. What the heck are you talking about? You're going to tell me the Bucks went Tier 2 with the exception of DeSean Jackson. If you're going Tier 2, you're going Tier 2. DeSean Jackson's an elite free agent. They paid him, $11 million a year and change?
Did I not say with the exception of DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, but there's no exception. You said Tier 2. I said they're going to be making a big splash. So what am I supposed to say?
You wanted them to spend every dollar they had available and have nothing left for Mike Evans and crew. And I said they're going to go get the $5, $6 million player, and that's what they did.
I think we'll call it a draw. All right. Okay, I thought they'd get two big-time guys, one on each side of the ball. They got one. Lee, can you referee this, please?
Yeah, Lee, step in, Lee. Step in the middle of this.
Well, I tell you what, if you're talking Tier 1, is DeSean Jackson a Tier 1 receiver? I don't know if he was their best receiver with the Redskins. The most dangerous. I don't know if he was the best.
Well, he was a high-profile marquee player.
To me, a Tier 1 would be like Antonio Brown up at Pittsburgh.
Well, not available.
I agree, but that's a Tier 1 receiver.
Well, when you look at Tier 1, I think we're talking money. And especially when you look at Alshon Jeffery signed a one-year cheap deal. Terrell Pryor, one-year cheap deal. The guys on the top of that free agent receiver list didn't sign DeSean Jackson money. This was a big play by the Bucks.
I don't think it was outrageous money for DeSean Jackson.
No, it was
reasonable.
Yeah, because he's a Tier 1 free agent. End of story. Thank you, Kaufman. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, compared to what a Mike Evans is going to be making in a couple of years.
Correct.
It's not even close.
Correct. But, you know, markets change for positions, and I still think all these people clamoring for an early re-signing of Mike Evans, take a deep breath, relax, no rush. Mike Evans is going to make $14 million on that fifth-year option. This is only his fourth year. They got time to see if he pulls a groin and, you know.
Exactly. Lee, the Bucks were looking for a very specific type of wide receiver, where height did not matter. You didn't have to be 6'3". And according to those narrow criteria, guys, we got to be honest. DeSean Jackson fit like a glove.
It's a perfect fit. Yes, yes, for that criteria. I got to ask you something, Ira. A lot of fans, every free agency period, every year, every spring, salary cap goes up, and you'll see guys get some good money. And, oh, this guy is being overpaid. Now, my contention is, when have players' salaries ever gone down? What is expensive today is cheap in 3 years. And what's your take on the way the fans react to
that? Well, maybe Mike Glennon might be a perfect example. Crazy money on the surface. Crazy. For a guy who's thrown 11 balls in the last 2 years.
On the surface. How about beneath the surface?
Beneath the surface. But, you know, it is dependent on what people are willing to pay, Lee. And I think DeKemper makes a good point. It's the first one he's made in a month and a half, Steve. But, you know, Steve, the money keeps going up. The TV money keeps going up. I mean, you know, these teams keep making bigger and bigger profits, including the Bucks. Teams that go 3-13 keep making a lot of money, whether fair and unfair. And the salary cap keeps going up. And if they can afford to give Mike Glennon $16 million guaranteed in year one, so be it. He's going to be a starter for John Fox. And what's the irony of all this? John Fox, his job's on the line, Steve. He's putting his future in Mike Glennon's hands.
I think it's fantastic, the soap opera of Glennon going over there where John Fox coached Tim Tebow to the playoffs and sees Glennon as, as 20 times better. It's fantastic, but I got to disagree with you, Ira.
What a surprise, Lee. What a surprise.
Yes, salaries have gone up in the NFL. However, by position by position, certain positions have been devalued and prices have come down. Running backs don't get paid what they used to get. I mean, look at LeGarrette Blount as an example. The guy doesn't have a job right now. He led the league in touchdowns last year, 1,000-yard season. He's been consistent for a while. Years ago, 20 years ago, he would have been arguably the top free agent. Running backs just aren't getting paid what they used to get paid. Nobody's even come close to Adrian Peterson money, and he got that money years ago. So it's, you know, Latavius Murphy, good back signed.
Well, we'll see what a guy like David Johnson in a couple of years, Lee, in Arizona. I mean, he's a fantastic back. I think he was a third, fourth round pick. Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Look, pass rushers have gotten crazy money. Crazy money.
Quarterbacks are in a separate category.
Guards are getting crazy money. Quarterbacks. But look at Darrelle Revis when he signed for $16 million with Mark Dominick. You don't see any cornerbacks getting $17, $18, $19 million. It hasn't gone up in that market at all. So, I don't know. It depends on the position. Bucks paid well for DeSean Jackson, but it seems fair. And, Lee, any final shots on DeSean Jackson here?
I mean, the Bucks and Jameis, and to a lesser degree, Mike Evans, they finally got what they wanted, what they needed. Someone to stretch the field, someone other than the misplaced Calgary Stampeder to count on for the Bucks to move the ball in the fourth quarter when it counted late in the season, which is what cost them a playoff
game. How much more pressure does the addition of DeSean Jackson place on opposing secondaries in the NFC South? I mean, is that a jolt to the system there?
Multiply whatever you had last year, multiply it by five. I mean, the difference between DeSean Jackson coming in and playing there instead of Russell Shepard on the outside or Cecil Shorts or insert your name.
Or Freddie Martino.
Insert your name. It's like Bill Parcells coming to the Jets after Rich Kotite won one game. It's night and day. It's not even close. It changes the whole offense. Puts a lot more pressure on Dirk Cutter to get stuff done. They should be a good offense now, again, like they were
now,
2 years ago.
He's not a volume receiver, Steve. He's not going to catch 85 balls. He doesn't do that, DeSean Jackson. And that's not why he's here in Tampa. He's not a volume receiver.
They don't need him to be. And thankfully, they don't need him to do anything other than what he already does. I know you love these factoids, Ira. I looked this up this morning. DeSean Jackson averages 17.7 yards a catch. That's the second highest total this decade. No, excuse me, this century in the NFL. Second highest average per catch this century in the NFL. That's a game changer kind of guy.
Who's one?
Jones?
Devery Henderson. Of the Saints, just about 18 yards a catch when he was there.
So this guy's DeSean Jackson averaged more yards a catch than Bob Hayes? With the Cowboys?
No, this century.
This century.
Oh, this century. This century. Oh, okay. I thought you meant in the past century. But
no. We know that you covered Sid Luckman back before World War II.
But okay. So you're not talking about Lance Allworth and Bob Hayes and Paul Warfield. All right.
different era of the deep ball.
But still, you're talking about more than 15 years.
Right. Overall, actually, DeSean Jackson is 37th in NFL history, but it was a different game.
It was a different
back
game.
In the Paul Warfield days.
What was the name of that wide receiver with the Packers you covered? That was so good.
Boyd Dollar?
No.
Oh.
Guy from Alabama.
Oh, well, not Ray Berry, you're not talking about.
No.
Guy from Alabama. Not Ray Perkins. No, way before that.
Oh, way before. Sid Luckman era.
I'm sorry about the century reference. I know you threw me off base over there.
You've
been covering the league for almost 100 years. I know that confuses you. But no. Let's a couple of important things. Let me tell a funny story. Lee's going to love this. I want to see his face when I tell him this. At the One Buck Place on Saturday, you know, they had their dog and pony show for the free agents. And Jason Light did a little chat on the side with media. A very long chat. And a member of our esteemed media colleagues said to Jason Light, well, you know, a couple of years ago, you were going with the Duncaneers philosophy. And now, DeSean Jackson's a very small receiver. What do you make of that? And Light's face when Duncaneers was mentioned and knowing that didn't work and Safarian Jenkins is out of here.
And suspended.
His face was classic, classic. And he's like, well, Duncaneers aside, DeSean Jackson, any team would want him. You don't have to dunk. It's fantastic.
Steve, speaking about the complimentary role that DeSean Jackson will play to Evans, Lee, Evans, and correct me if I'm wrong, speaking about factoids.
You're wrong.
I believe Evans led all receivers last year in generating first downs. The guy is fantastic about moving the chains, Evans.
Oh,
he was better than Antonio Brown last year. He was better than Julio Jones in that category.
It was ridiculous.
And it's a big, big category.
Yes.
It keeps possession. And you couple him with DeSean Jackson, who makes every catch count, Lee, on paper. Mm-hmm. If they're both healthy, that's a very strong combination.
Very much so. And DeSean Jackson's stats that we were referring to, I wonder how the receiver, I tried to figure out his name, Don Hutson.
Don
you covered
Hutson,
him.
Don Hutson.
What was he like when you interviewed him?
He's a little bit before my time, Lee, just a year or two before my time.
Well, Ira, everyone wants more time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $489 a month. Sign and drive. And enjoy the many benefits of being an Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa customer, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. Click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. That is the place to go. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See dealer for all the details. And I'm going to throw something out here, guys. I know Lee's going to disagree with, and maybe you will too, but I can't.
There's no maybe about it, Steven.
I cannot be blinded by pewter and red here. The Buccaneers went out. The other second-tier signing you referenced calling it second tier is Chris Baker.
Chris Baker, yeah.
Defensive tackle, played DN in a 3-4 defense for the Redskins. Now, this guy turns 30 years old in October. He's a 9-year veteran. Nobody that I know was talking about Chris Baker 2 weeks ago.
No.
And a lot of Buck fans have very high hopes for this guy. And I'm going to say I am extremely leery of a 9th-year or 10th-year defensive tackle coming in here, never played in a 4-3, and has only had a couple of good years. And all of a sudden, he's a game changer. I'm not really sure. Now, he's better than Akeem Spence.
He's better than Akeem Spence.
But I am very leery of bringing in an older dude like that. With a fair share of mileage. I'm not about to sit here and celebrate it. I want to see it.
He's not a game changer, Lee, but I'm not going to sit here and not knock an upgrade, Lee, on Akeem Spence. I'm not going to knock it. I think he's going to start, Lee, and I would say I'd put Clinton McDonald number 3 in the rotation.
It's certainly a rotation. I don't disagree with what Steve's saying. What I think is being overlooked here, and I wrote about this morning on JoeBuckStand.com. When I say this morning, I'm talking like 2 o'clock in the morning. He's got, as Steve suggested, or actually said, he's got some experience as a defensive end in a 34 defense. When Mike Smith first came here, he made it clear, don't pigeonhole our defense. Yes, we're going to be a 43-base defense. We're going to run some 34. All three of us saw them practice with Noah Spence as an outside linebacker in a three-man front. They didn't do that very often. Two hands you can count on how many times they ran a 34 defense? Well, this gives Mike Smith another tool in the shed to work with. Maybe Mike Smith is going to diversify the defense even further. I'm speculating, of course, but it stands to reason. So I agree with Steve that, you know, this guy's not a Dontari Poe or you name it, a defensive tackle is going to, or a Warren Sapp or a Gerald McCoy, but he's an upgrade, like you said, and don't dismiss an upgrade. I just think that we might be overlooking that this is just another toy for Mike Smith to play with to diversify the defense even further.
Steve, I have to believe that Jason Light had interest in Calais Campbell. Up until the time that Jason Light became convinced that he was going to make a lot of money. A lot of money that the Bucs didn't want to pay at that position. You're already paying Gerald McCoy a nice coin at defensive tackle. I think Campbell would have played defensive tackle primarily as a Buck.
Sure.
Even though, like Baker, he's played defensive end in a 3-4. I don't think Baker's as good as Calais Campbell.
No.
I don't want you two guys suggesting that he is.
He's not. But your point about McCoy making a lot of money, which is true on face value, but then you look at the salary cap space they have. So that's a wash. They have all kinds of cash.
Let me say this. A couple of the interesting things there. I'm glad you brought up Calais Campbell. It's on my list of from our 7-hour.
And I've been pushing for him for 2 months. I have.
It's from our 6-hour production meeting for this podcast. Calais Campbell got $15 million a season from the Jaguars. One thing that's interesting about that is Calais Campbell told Peter King's website, the MMQB.com, that he did not talk to Tom Coughlin. He did not talk to Doug Marrone. All he did was talk to guys who have played for those guys because he feels that's the way to do it. When you're in free agency, you want to talk to the players. You don't want to talk to the coach. Who cares? I thought that was fascinating that I don't need to talk to the head coach. I'll just talk to everybody who knows Tom Coughlin. But and the fact that Coughlin and Doug Marrone, the flip side of that is they didn't even want to talk to him.
Yeah, that's the surprising part.
His film looks so damn good that they were willing to break the bank for this guy.
I hate to give Izbitz any credit, Lee, but I will say this. He said it long ago regarding free agency, and I think Campbell is your example one, Steve. They go for the money, and Campbell went for the money. The Bucs have a better personnel than the Jaguars.
Sure.
Anybody would say that.
No, they wouldn't. On defense, the Jaguars are loaded.
The Bucs are
9-7. No. You said the personnel.
I
not
said the
record.
Bucs have better personnel.
Offensively, don't question.
The Jaguars have better defensive personnel. You can make that case.
I didn't break it down. I said the Bucs have better personnel.
All right.
Starting with the quarterback, Lee.
The Bucs were one game out of the playoffs. The Jags are two games out for
Campbell was overwhelmed with that offer, Steve, and he took it.
Well, look, I'm not talking about the Jaguars' record. That's totally separate animal. Personnel.
You are what your record says, Izbitz.
Mr. Parcells?
Well, yeah, which is why Gus Bradley was fired, and they blew up the thing and brought in Tom Coughlin. And he's not didn't exactly get rid
I'm
of...
I'm trying to give you credit, Izbitz.
Right. Enough.
Stop fighting.
All right, fine, whatever. Listen, Campbell, I'm going to go on record right now to say that I think Campbell is going to have a monster year in Jacksonville, that I think Bucs fans are going to regret that he's not here. Now, it doesn't mean the Bucs are going to lose games.
And it doesn't mean that the Bucs should have signed him for $15
million. Doesn't mean that either, but I think he's going to have a monster year. And look, Jason Light knew the price tag. Everybody does. I think one of the best things you could do, Ira, in your next 9 months, I think it would be a fascinating for Joe Bucs fan.
He's got a nine-month project for him.
Nine-month
Lee.
Project
he thinks
for
ahead.
You. I think you need to tap your sources, and maybe we just send you to Jacksonville, make it easy. But I think you should be the one to find out if the Bucs ever even talked to Calais Campbell's representative, because we all heard the smoke screens, likely, that the Bucs were interested in Campbell and moving hard toward him, and Jason LaConfora was pushing it. I think Bucs fans would love to get a great education if they were able to find out that that was total BS or maybe it was legit. I don't know.
And I think Denver was also in the mix, Steve, to be fair. Denver was hot for him. Yep. They needed help. In the middle of that D-line, they lost Malik Jackson the year before Denver. But I don't think Jason Light could look the three of us in the face and say, I had absolutely no interest in Calais Campbell. I've never heard one blemish about Calais Campbell as a player or as a leader. I think he's a heck of a player.
Well, sometimes it's the things you don't hear, but it's all about the money. I think, you know, if Calais Campbell was cheaper, if he cost what Chris Baker costs, he'd probably
be here.
All of a sudden he'd look great. You know, it's $15 million. It's $15 million. That's extraordinary. And we'll leave it at that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is Mr. McDougal still out there, Lee?
Yes, he is.
Available?
Which?
Nobody wants this guy.
Well, here's what it tells me, Ira. Here's what it tells me about McDougal. And I've written it several times at JoeBuckSaying.com. Steve probably has, too. Either he or his agent grossly overestimated his worth. It's a week later, and he's still out there. And it also tells me that, you know, before free agency dinner bell rang, a lot of NFL analysts, you know, your Andy Benoist, your Doug Farrars, you name it, Greg Cosell, whomever, they were all saying, this McDougal's going to be a steal. He's not going to break the bank. He's a solid safety. He may be a good safety. He's still young. This is a solid investment. Yet there he sits with his palms facing the sky. Everybody, including his agent, I think, overestimated his worth.
And I wrote back to Benoist on one of those tweets, because he's like talking about, he put out a tweet with film of great stick and run support. If you slowed that tape down, the ball carrier was tripped at the line of scrimmage and fell into McDougal.
He's a guy who didn't develop, Steve. The Bucs didn't develop McDougal. I don't know if that's the Bucs' fault from a coaching standpoint or McDougal just wasn't very good.
Name one guy on defense that developed under Lovie. They regressed. They didn't develop.
I disagree with you, Ira. The guy was undrafted free agent. For an undrafted free agent, he developed beautifully, and he'll get a job.
I think he was better his first year, Steve, than he was later on.
I don't disagree, but you know, I hate to drag Lovie Smith back into this. He should be beaten in the public square of what he did to this team.
I would assume Wilcox is an upgrade, Steve. I would assume.
Well, we're going to find out. You're talking about J.J. Wilcox, the new safety. He lost his starting job in Dallas last year, and they let him go. And again, it's March, and we all want to put a big flowery rose petals over these free agent signings, but Lee would have been the same guy 2 months ago or 6 months ago saying, hey, his own team who drafted him benched him, and now they let him walk in free agency. That's a red flag. Doesn't mean he won't turn it around.
I don't see, guys, I'm going to say it right now. Wilcox, Conte, Tandy. I don't see a stud in the group, Lee. I don't see one.
No. But, you know, those guys are not why the Bucs missed the playoffs. So I can't get too worked up.
And Conte made some plays, Steve. He made some big plays.
Yeah, Kansas City won the game.
He did.
Yeah, yeah. We've said it before. Safety wasn't why they missed the playoffs. McDougal, I agree with Lee. He probably mispriced himself, although he is meeting with the Seahawks this week. And let's be real. By the time this podcast posts, maybe he's got $3 million a year from Pete Carroll, and we're all wondering why the Bucs didn't bring him back.
If McDougal does come back, it's definitely going to be on Light's terms because he's got the leverage now. He really doesn't need to add another safety. Well, technically, if there's a stud guy out there, yeah, but there's not. But Light's not looking to add a safety. I'm sure he'd welcome McDougal back. He didn't close the door on him. He was very coy about him. But it's going to be at his price, Light's price.
Guys, a week, Steve, a week into free agency, a week. Are there a couple of positions that you feel the Bucs are absolutely locked into when the draft rolls around?
Yeah.
They absolutely have to draft at this position?
Yes.
I know the first one you're going to say.
Two.
Running back.
Yes, that's one. Wide receiver.
And what?
Let's be honest here. DeSean Jackson has not, the last couple years, been a model of durability. And if he goes down and they don't add another wide receiver.
You're back to square one.
You're right back to the crap wagon you were last year.
All right. Well, speaking of the crap wagon, I this is an important point.
That's
here.
A good phrase over
That's
there.
That's a good segue, too.
This is an important point, Ira. And we'll call this a business meeting. I think you should flush out a column on this because it's come out of your mouth probably 100 times in the last 5 years.
What, calling the commish Jason?
Only 30 times on that one.
I do know Justin's name, but I had Jason Light's name on my mind, so I apologize.
All right. Now, listen, follow my logic here, Kaufman. Dial in, all right?
I'm all ears.
Mr. Kaufman, you have said that Team Glazer has said through the years many times, in the limited time that they speak to in public, they have said this many times per you, that they take great pride in re-signing all of the free agents that they want to keep, that they've never lost a guy because of money. So if their team wants him and they want to re-sign him, they don't lose guys because of money. Well, Russell Shepard was a guy the Bucs put an offer in front of. They wanted him back. Special teams captain, a legitimate number five receiver, not the two or three that they were throwing him into, but a legit number five receiver, a guy tight with Jameis, been here several years. The Panthers decided to pay Russell Shepard number three wide receiver money, and he left. And the Bucs lost him in free agency. So, Ira, what do you make of Team Glazer losing Russell Shepard, a guy that this team wanted, and that hurt their depth, whether you like him or not? They lost a legit number five receiver.
Mr. Isbitz, you better have another whiskey sour over there and regain your equilibrium. Are you suggesting in any manner, Mr. Isbitz, that Russell Shepard falls under the category of a franchise cornerstone? That is what the Glazer boys are talking about, Lee. They're talking about the Levante Davids, the Mike Evans, the Jameis Winstons, the Ali Marpets.
Michael Bennett.
And here comes Isbitz talking about Russell Shepard. Now, look, the guy was an outstanding special teams player, Lee, but I want you to explain to your partner here that he doesn't fit. He's not a cornerstone. That's the kind of guys they're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bucs fans out there that are just bawling in their Cheerios that Russell Shepard bolted. I can't get worked up about it. He had umpteen chances to prove himself as an everyday wide receiver. He couldn't. Okay, great. He was a fine special teams guy. Is he Steve Tasker? No. What? Six plays a game, we're counting on it.
It's been time I've gotten over the fact Mike James still isn't on the roster.
You know. I mean, people are curling up in fetal positions over six plays a game.
Steve, you're gonna lose some guys.
I'm going to text Mike James right now and tell him you said that.
Look, Shepard, you know, contributed. He contributed.
And sure,
you know
he did.
What?
But
he caught a few more balls than I thought he would. Besides his
20-something balls.
I understand. But, Steve, I understand your point, but obviously the Glazers are talking about, the middle linebacker, the quarterback, the wide receiver. Let's be honest. There was a time when the Bucs didn't have any of these guys. They didn't have any of them.
Yep.
So they're getting back to the late 90s, the early 2000s, where guys that you draft don't have to play right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back to an old Buck formula that worked pretty well, Steve.
All right, I'll leave you with this on that. I'll take my beating, and I asked you to interpret Team Glazer, so that's fine. I'm not going to argue with any of your interpretations, Ira. You're the sage of Tampa Bay sports, whether anybody likes it or not.
You're damn right, Justin. You're damn right. I'm sorry.
But you could say not a cornerstone all you want, but this guy was a captain on this team. That's a cornerstone. Captain for 2 years, by the way. And Dirk Koetter, I'll leave you with this. He is a cornerstone. Mr. Koetter is. And if Mr. Koetter was sitting right here in front of us and we said, Dirk, you lost your number five wide receiver and your best special teams player for $1 million or so. How do you feel about that? I don't think he'd like it. I don't think he would, because Koetter doesn't give a crap about money. I mean, why didn't we sign him? So I don't know what that means necessarily, but if it's all about Dirk Koetter, if he's the new man in town, 9-7 coach, we love this guy, big stick he's carrying, he didn't get his guy, and he might not like it.
Have you ever seen Isbitz so worked up about a number five receiver, Lee?
No, and I'm going to throw this out at you, Ira. if a special teams warrior was so important, the last time the Bucs won 10 games, name the special teams warrior. Was it Mo Stovall?
Oh, boy.
Mo Stovall, yes.
Yeah, Mo Stovall, yeah. Who went on to infamy.
Yeah, he couldn't tackle.
You know what? The special teams captain that year, we're going to go, I'm pretty sure it was the linebacker. He was here for a year. Adam Hayward.
Oh, Adam Hayward. Yeah, the guy that likes to rough up his position coaches on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That tussle with Brian Cox.
Steve, one thing we haven't talked about. We have not talked about it.
Well, wait, actually.
Oh, wait a minute. You got something.
No, there's a lot we haven't talked about, Ira. But
Steve has an agenda here, yes.
What's most important is Morse has more. Morse has more, Ira. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they believe customers deserve more. And they do. Customers do deserve more at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, like more selection. Shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs. And more savings, like a new 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon to get more. Or start by clicking edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And, of course, with approved credit, 2.0 liter turbo standard vehicle, 39 months plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fee, zero security, and the dealer has all the details.
Now, Steve, I walked around that tennis stadium in Indian Wells with proudly wearing my red Ed Morse shirt and hat. You know what? It got quite a reaction. The first reaction was, who's Ed Morse? I had to explain that it was a Tampa dealership.
Did they think you were a ball girl for a minute?
Did they drop their brie?
Now, Steve, getting back to the point I was going to make, Justin.
Please do.
We have not talked about this. And look, you want to talk about a number five receiver, and I want to talk about a number two quarterback. Mr. DeKemper, are you concerned the fact that the Bucs can't continue and are not likely to continue to get lucky, and I use that word, with Jameis Winston playing virtually every snap when you see quarterbacks all over this league, Steve, going down, and right now they got little Ryan Griffin standing there. Are you concerned?
No. Real quick about Griffin, I don't know if you're going here or not, but it's pretty clear, despite what the Bucs have said publicly, they're not sold on Ryan Griffin. Otherwise, they wouldn't have flirted with Nick Foles. And apparently, they were right down to the wire with Foles. The only reason Foles went with the Eagles, he was familiar with the system, familiar with the coaches.
And would not have given Mike Glennon such an attractive contract offer.
That as well. That's a good point. That as well. I'm just of the firm belief that if your starting quarterback goes down, you're SOL. And you know what? A right tackle or a running back or a wide receiver or a cornerback is a hell of a lot more important than a backup quarterback. You know, to me, you know, what they offer Glennon, $7 million?
Allegedly eight, yeah.
You know, I'm the biggest Jason Light fan there is, but to me, that's reckless. When you still have holes on your starting roster and you're willing to pay a guy you pray never gets on the field, roughly $8 million, come on.
A lot of good teams don't have any kind of backup, Steve. That's just the way this league works right now.
You know what?
I don't know if it's right. But good teams don't have good backups, with the exception maybe in New England. They don't.
Average teams don't have good quarterbacks starting.
Yeah. Chase Daniel doesn't excite me, you know, Steve. There's not a lot of guys out there.
Well,
Foles would have been nice. Foles would have been nice.
It's a luxury.
Here's the deal. A backup quarterback is insurance. That's what you're buying, insurance policy on your guy. So Lee's 100% accurate. If you really lose your guy, you're toast, you're screwed.
What if you lose him for a month?
If you lose him for a half, or you lose him for two games, or you need him in the playoffs just for one game and maybe to survive. Like, look at Oakland last year. What a crap show that was.
Osweiler.
Yeah, when Derek Carr went down, they were toast. They were toast.
Yeah, when Derek Carr went down,
Houston as well.
Osweiler,
know.
Brian Hoyer was a disaster in the playoffs. So the backup quarterback position, it on paper, it's ridiculous.
You never want to use it, right?
But when you need it, all of a sudden, oh, man, we're so glad we got Nick Foles for these next six quarters. So it's a tough – when you're a good team, it just matters more. You know, is it going to win or lose the season? I don't know. I'd rather have better insurance at wide receiver. If we're like Lee said, if we're going to invest $8 million on a backup quarterback, I'd rather have that $8 million – rather have that $8 million on Mohamed Sanu last year as insurance on the team. So there are better areas to spend the money. Ryan Griffin, what's interesting, though, is they gave him a restricted free agent tender, $1.8 million. That's the minimum. And I'm sure he's going to run and sign it because no one else is going to have him on their team. So it looks like Dirk Koetter wants a three quarterback. He wants a third clipboard holder.
We really don't know anything about Griffin, Lee. We really don't. I mean, we never see him in training camp. He's not very impressive in the preseason.
I'll say this.
Neither was Glennon, and he got $15
million. Yeah.
Good point, man.
We could do a whole podcast on Glennon another time, but it wouldn't shock me at all, Ira. We haven't talked about this, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Bucs actually draft a quarterback in fifth round, sixth round, seventh round. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Dirk Koetter believes that he's got a great quarterback guy in Mike Bajakian. Cutter's a quarterback guy. Jameis, obviously. Would you want a better mentor and role model for a young quarterback than Jameis for a rookie at this point? What a situation
Good
that
point.
Would be. If you invest a sixth, seventh round pick in a quarterback, I don't think that's a bad idea.
You think they're locked into wide receiver in the first three rounds? I don't know that that's necessarily true, Lee. They got 2 years to play around with DeSean Jackson.
Well,
they do.
Again, if he goes down, which he's I can't say it's a habit, but it's not unlikely he can go down.
You wouldn't call him brittle. You wouldn't call him
brittle. No, he's not brittle, but he's missed games.
He's missed games.
And, again, He goes down, you're back to the crap show again. So you got to get a receiver.
So if John Ross is there at 19, Steve, you look hard at him?
Now you're talking brittle.
Well, you know what, Ira? We're going to dive deeper into the draft on your next podcast. We're going to lock this one down here, baby. It's good to have you back, Kaufman.
We got more to come, baby.
Listening to you on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast there if you're not listening on JoeBucksFan.com. All you do is get an automatic download to your phone and an alert that it's there, and you can listen whenever the hell you want. Fantastic service. It's free. Podbean.com. Also, Ira's getting some more subscribers there. Not a lot of people do, but you've already got like 60 on Podbean. Most people don't use Podbean for subscription. So that's interesting, and we've just even started pitching that.
It's been a lot of fun being back with you and Jason today. It's been outstanding. I'm never going to live that down. Calling Pulowski Jason about 6 times.
You mean Larry over here?
Larry.
So when you got Jason Light on your mind, Steve, things seem to slip.
All right, so it's Friday. When this thing's popping, Ira, we're going to run your next podcast Sunday so we get all caught up, because if people don't get you twice a week, they freak the hell out.
They do.
And so we had a nice little bonus podcast Thursday, me and Lee filling your giant shoes.
Thank you.
And we're going to hit some real cool topics next time. So thanks, everybody.